Hello, everybody. Welcome to this broadcast of Alchemy of Light. My name is Jamil Graham, and I welcome you all on the 31st of December, 2011. And we are here in Boston. I'm broadcasting from Boston. We are in an area, the Western Hemisphere, dominated by the Gregorian calendar. So we turn the calendar on this day to the new year, 2012. The 2012th year in the Gregorian calendar has been hallmarked for many, many, many things. And I feel, honestly, we will make of it what we will. And today I want to share with you some insights, thoughts, prayers, meditations about building community, one heart at a time. As I see us moving into the new times, there are definitely more than one agenda going on here for our attention. We are at a crossroads where the human species as a collective is making a decision for its fate, for its destiny, for not just itself, but for all the lives that human existence affects here on planet Earth. And the human story here on planet Earth has very, very long, deep, deep, much more interesting roots than we have been taught in school. The history goes back many, 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 many thousands of years before the advent of Christianity, of Judaism, of Buddhism, of all these religious doctrines that tend to dominate our understanding of the origins of the human species. But those are only one part of a very long, deep, rich, amazing story of the human species here on planet Earth. We as a collective human species at this time are being granted many opportunities to learn the deeper truths that have been denied us systemically. And it doesn't really matter where you've grown on this planet. There has been an ongoing campaign to keep the human as an individual consciousness from its understanding of itself. This has been a very focused and deliberate plan. This is not an accident. And I am sharing with you what my honest perceptions, understandings, insights are to this point. I have been studying, questioning all of my life, and I am allergic to institutions, and I'm allergic to boxes, and I don't tend to find comfort in any particular labels or titles. I've just kind of been born like that. But one title has come to me recently that more fits than not, and it is one called philosophy, philosopher. I am one who definitely integrates the ideas and information from many sources in the body of integrity that one finds in morality and in ethical understanding. That means to me the understanding of the bigger picture, where not just the individual is affected, but where the individual touches and affects all lives that it comes in contact with. And that includes the contact that happens from and within the invisible realms. We are in a place where the human as a species is, in fact, being granted the opportunity to transcend. This is at once a very personal process and a unique community global experience as well for the species to share in together. I would like to explore the idea of building community today, and how do we build community, and what is building community? Well, in our traditional understanding of a community, it seems we have followed the paradigm, of course, to date of processing, exploring, building things from the outside. We look out for a process, a very linear process, a very goal-oriented linear process. For example, we want to build a community around saving the dolphins, which we who love dolphins want to come together and we want to do that. So our first thinking might be in a very material, linear-based paradigm to set a goal. In our goal, we look outside of ourselves for what this community means. And our goal then is set for a collaboration, or say we want to bring together these people. Our goal is to stop the slaying of dolphins. That is our goal. We set our goal as that, and from our linear 3-4-dimensional paradigm, material-based, we begin our process one step to the next step to the next step. Often, these very linear process goal-setting things that are focused in material-based reality first employ the understanding that bureaucracy is involved and that it requires money and that we require certain amounts of people. Very material things are then assumed to be necessary in accomplishing our goal, in getting to the next step of our goal. That's the existing paradigm. That, to me, is the old paradigm that we are transcending from. Now, it's really important to understand the value of this paradigm. And we have been bombarded with a lot of false things about it, but it is really important to understand there's tremendous value in understanding how the material plane works, in understanding the basic laws and physics, the understanding of how to move the material plane. It's like the bicycle has wheels and you get on the bicycle and you learn how to ride it. You have to appreciate the bicycle and the balancing and all those things that go with it. That is very important for us to appreciate all that we have learned in 3A4D. In our next evolution where we are going, and I'm using words that are comfortable for me, and I understand as I'm sharing them that they are also extremely limited, that my dictionary is constantly evolving, and I can't wait personally till we get over words altogether. But we are still doing words, and until we truly check into our new, evolved, multidimensional reality, we will still have words. We must learn to appreciate the best of these words. And for me personally, I understand that they need to be understood in a very broad spectrum. So I'm offering you the words that work for me. They don't work for you. Find one that does or don't. You have an option. So in our 3-4-dimension, very material-based understanding, we have been programmed or we have been offered programs, we have a choice, of using goal-oriented linear process to accomplish our perceived desires and perceived meaningful things that are inherent in the dignity of our souls, in the mission of who we are and what we came here for. Now we are evolving, meaning this is a very natural process. I find this very akin to watching a child grow. A child, when one is an infant, requires a great deal of care. Learning how to, you know, sit up is a really big deal. And then, oh my God, a toddler is walking. Wow, we celebrate how the child is walking. Well, humanity, in my perception, is about a toddler and moving into young childhood. The human, the magnificence of the potential of the human species has barely been visited even in our wildest imagination here on this planet. This planet has a very unique impediment in that it has subscribed to a program that leaves it purposely in the dark of its inherent soul wisdom. meaning that when you are taking a new body or a new form of any kind, and taking a new form is not limited to the human, the same soul energy does in fact, can in fact, occupy many forms at the same time. So when you are in this current form choice of your soul, you have decided and agreed to an amnesia of sorts. You've agreed to the process of refinding yourself. You've agreed to the process of rediscovery. And while that has many painful elements, the process of rediscovery of your being in the light, of rediscovering the truth, is such a tremendous freedom and explosion of light and healing love energy into the universe, that in your soul being, you know you are contributing to massive amounts of light, massive amounts of healing, massive amounts of creation, because it's akin to a little seed under the soil. And so we're the little seeds under the dark soil, and we're pushing for the light, and we have to push through a lot of crap on this planet. Crap, pure crap. We have to push through lies like nobody's business. Lies. They tell us so many lies. We push through that, and oh my God, when we reach that light and the warmth, and it opens our heart and it opens our mind, that feeling of comfort, of connection, of bliss, transforms not only our being, and the awe of that moment transforms all that we touch throughout the entire multiverse, because this is the segue. This leads us to who we truly are. We are not our bodies. We're not 3-4-dimensional little bipods with little names and little bank accounts and little jobs and little cool clothes and little cool friends and little cool appointments. You know, those things are really cool. But who we are is a gigantic, enormous, brilliant soul being that extends through multi dimensions. Our energy is felt in the invisible realms. We call invisible realms because humans are very concerned about what they see with their eyes on this planet, but our eyes are extremely limited, not only scientifically proven, but our eyes, our little teeny tiny weeny beady eyes here, see almost nothing of real relevance, okay? Our eyes, the true sight of our being, goes into the invisible realms. The intensity of our energy and our auric fields, we call them auric fields, and beyond the auric fields, beyond them, into the astral planes, into the energies, into the dimensions, into the light dimensions, where we contact and are connected to all that is. That is who we are. You see how amazing we are? Wow. So in our new paradigm, we are getting the opportunity to fully integrate what that means. What does it mean to have a fully integrated consciousness that we are light beings, conscious light beings, choosing to have this human experience? And in choosing to have this human experience as what I call soul light beings here on planet Earth, we care more about the work at hand, meaning the work as described by the fulfillment of our mission of soul, of the way that our light can be of service in this planet, in this realm, in this whole manifestation of creation, in this magnificent planet that is so full of life, so full of opportunity, so full of healing amazing opportunities to be and express and try new things and see how they work. We have that opportunity to begin integrating what that means as a soul being in a body. That's the shift from the 3-4 material-based little tiny bipod with a bank account reality to the multidimensional soul being that we truly are in our essence, as decided, as divine from the universe. So I would like to explore a new way of building community from the inside out, okay? From our inside out paradigm of building community as multidimensional soul beings, we first have the task of knowing ourselves, because building community one heart at a time begins with our heart, begins with the peace or not peace or the whatever's going on in our own heart. Because in building a community, we become the brick of sorts. We are one of the pillars, one of the parts that create a structure, that create a place where the energy we choose to cultivate can become manifest, can express itself, can grow. And building a community from the inside out, we first must build the community of who we are inside of ourselves. And from the quiet, loving heart that we are able to cultivate, we bring that quiet, loving heart to the space where our souls know we have been destined to become co-creators with whatever that energy manifestation of choice is. Now, let's look at some examples of how that might be different than our bureaucracy-driven, goal, linear, 3-4 material-based reality. Well, the 3-4D material-based reality has a component to it that is very much in alignment with the control system that has been in place for these thousands of years, and it is basically run with the monetary system. Now, the monetary system is an imposed system that clearly enslaves humanity. It has so effectively convinced us that we need money to survive that we really believe that. We really, really are going to have an opportunity in this year to really review those ideas and those beliefs. How much do we really need money? What is money actually for? Who does money actually serve? In truth, with a capital T, the Earth herself provides more than enough for all. These thoughts and ideas that were overpopulated and all that stuff, you know, I'm amazed constantly by how many incredibly intelligent people tell me this, and I ask them a simple question back. Okay, so you think we have too many people. Well, do you think we need to look at how the resources are being managed? How about distribution of resources before we start deciding who needs to die before we can all survive? I mean, the alignment in the war mentality of that statement is very disturbing to me, when in capital T truth, there is not a single being on this planet that need be denied anything. Anything they need to survive, anything they need to thrive and create their dreams. Oh my God, there is so much incredible wealth and abundance on this planet that hasn't been available to us because the monetary system has been imposed on all of us and all of our resources. Now, we will come very quickly to challenge this even more intensely than we have begun. We have occupies and risings and all these things. This is very, very much a part of the rising in our being, in the transcending of our 3-4-D mentality, because we will discover, those of us who are ready to make this journey at this time, we will discover together as a multidimensional community that this earth belongs to all of us, to every single living being. That is not exclusive to any being, including and top of the list, humans. Humans do not own this planet. This planet belongs to every single living being on it. And that means that as we evolve and transcend and our understanding that we are not 3-4-D, that we are multidimensional, soul, divine, all-powerful beings, that we must first, and it will not even be, it will be a given, because as we evolve into these higher realms, we realize that as divine, all-powerful beings, and all is provided, we need not harm anybody. We need not feel in the least bit afraid of anything, because we know that we are divine, all-powerful beings. And our whole modus operandi, the way we approach things, the way we create things, becomes totally shifted from, oh my God, I got to take care of me in the fear-based 3-4-D thing, to the multidimensional, all-powerful being of, wow, I am there. We can all help each other. The shift goes from taking care of little me and my, you know, oh, got to get mine. I got to make sure I have mine. I got to make sure I have mine. And looking at everybody and what you can get from them, you know, only going to hang out with those people that give you what you need, and calculating all your relationships to get what you need. And you know, not going to give anything to anybody that doesn't give me back, and blah, blah, all this, you know, got to give me first stuff. You get over that. When you realize that you are a divine, all-powerful being, you realize that the wealth of the universe lives in you, and you can't give enough. You have so much to give, and your needs are met automatically because you know that you are fulfilling your mission. You know that whatever comes to you is a gift from the Creator, and to be revered and express gratitude for whatever comes. This is leading to another important thing that happens in the manifestation of the shift, is we transcend the understanding that things are good or bad, because they're not good or bad. They just are. Things simply are what they are. And we transcend the idea from negative and positive, and we move into all one. And the positive being a dominant would include the negative. It would not exclude the negative. You know, we have a bridging sort of attempt right now in some ways. You know, the people who only want to look at the positive stuff, right? You know, oh, well, ignore the wars. Yeah, no problem. Oh, ignore the Palestinians. Oh, ignore the dolphins being swatted. Oh, ignore the chemtrails in the sky. Oh, ignore the truth that you can actually find without much effort about the banking system and its intentional destruction of humanity and the way we have known our lives. Ignore it, ignore it, ignore it. And then we call ourselves positive because we only want to look at the flowers and the rainbows, right? That's positive. Oh, don't bother me with all that stuff. But you know what? That's denial. That is not positive. That is denial. And that stuff that we are then choosing not to look at hangs out in our subconscious. It's hanging out there because it's a part of us. It is a part of the collective creation. We are all co-creating chemtrails and wars and destruction of the planet. We are all co-creating all of these things. So even though we play denial, oh, I'm just a positive person, I only look at, you know, candy canes and you know, unicorns, I'm positive, you know, I don't look at all that stuff, oh, that's all negative, oh, that's a negative thing, you know. Hey, good luck to you. And you know what? we're going to miss you because you could help us a lot if you could look at those things and make peace with those things in your own heart. Because the more we are all able to look at the totality of our creation without needing to judge it as good or bad, positive, negative, on and on and on and on, the more we can just look at it for what it is, the easier it will be for us to collectively see the obvious. The truth is hiding in plain sight. We know what we need to do here. We know. And the conflict is that we are fighting with ourselves. We are fighting with ourselves. We are putting ourselves in the way of our own transcendence by our own unwillingness to look in our own heart and look at and be with the challenging emotions that come up around some of the bigger things, you know, our wars and our chemtrails, and the smaller things, the uncomfort, the way we've fallen out of trust with the people we live with how much we hate our jobs, with how much we are loathing ourselves for the abuse we're taking in certain situations. You see, denial works on those things too, but it only works for a short time. And as we transcend into our higher being awareness, to our multidimensional awareness, as our soul moves into our bodies more and demands our attention to these things, we begin a conflict with ourselves on such a profound level that we can become extremely toxic to ourselves. This is what I believe causes sickness. This is when our bodies start to go. This is when our souls say, folks, if we can't get it here, it's time to go. We have a situation now. A lot of people are choosing to leave, and that doesn't mean that they have not the fortitude for these times. That means their soul has chosen to be complete at this time. We have a choice now as an evolving species to look at our whole situations in a totally different light. And one of the most important things about knowing that we are divine, all-powerful beings and bringing that consciousness into our everyday lives is that we know that love is all that is real. In our love understanding, in the grounding of self-love, meaning that we learn to love ourselves no matter what, without judgment, without needing to play any of the games that we have been playing, when we really learn unconditional love of self, we are fully engaging the soul consciousness, integrating itself in our being. And as we integrate full consciousness of self-love, it emanates from us. It changes how we respond in the world. It changes how we see ourselves in the world. It changes all the ways that we have limited our understanding and becomes a door opener. We start to see how we just missed the doorknob. We were standing there looking at this structure and we were sure it was a door. We were sure it was a wall. We were standing there. We've been in this, you know, behind this wall forever. And as we learn to love ourselves and really open our hearts, we suddenly notice that's a door. Oh my God, that's a door. Turn the knob. Turn the bloody knob. Push the door open. Let the light in. More love. That's the thing. More love. It is a like attracts like phenomena. That there's some real serious universal truth to that. The more you love yourself, the more you love your chosen path, even when it hurts, because balancing our emotions is probably the greatest challenge of our entire existence. And this is the thing that I'm told and read and I'm coming to understand makes the human experience particularly unique and even sought after, the human capacity for emotion. We have an incredibly wide, wide range of emotions, really wide range. And in the 3-4 paradigm that we are transcending with the control slave matrix base that we are transcending, that understanding of our emotion has been largely corralled and controlled by what I believe the first war. And the first war to me is the gender war. The males do this, the females do that. Okay, now in the Western culture, when you were born, if you have the girl parts, you get the pink blanket, and if you have the boy parts, you get the blue one. Okay, from that exact moment, you have been determined as that, pink or blue. But most important, on the subconscious level, you have also been assigned your first enemy. The enemy is the other. You are the pink blanket, that blue blanket, he doesn't get you. He doesn't have the capacity to get you, right? You know? Okay, so let's pull out some gender paradigm realities and the relationship to emotion, because this is key for building community. This is key. How we build our emotional maturity, how we build ourselves as emotionally productive, balanced beings has everything to do with every single relationship in our whole entire lives, from the ones we don't notice to the ones that we consider are the most important. So in the gender game, it's, you know, pretty dismal, right? I mean, when you talk about emotion in the gender game, pretty much, you know, it can be said simply, I think, you know, men, you know, the blue blanket guys, they get two emotions. They get rage and lust, okay? They can go out and screw whoever, you know, they can get mad. That's what they do. That's what those, you know, penis-carrying human people do. They have those emotions. Now, the other one, the vaginas, those pink blanket people, you know, at that point, you also realize there are different species, right? Okay, so the other species that looks like human but just has different, you know, bottom parts. Okay, those other species, those guys, those female types, you know, they get to be really emotional. They have so many feelings. In fact, they have so many feelings that they get to be called hysterical, right? You put them in a room when they bleed, you know, because those human emotions all come out way too much, way too fast, way too intense. That pink blanket group, they just have too many emotions. So they just, you know, it's frowned upon how many emotions they have. Frowned upon. They build the whole mental health industry around the damning of those emotions of those pink blanket people. Okay, so we have a setup here about how our emotions are. That is the most primary lesson that is introduced to us, I believe, here in the Western world. Now, it takes a lot to question that inside ourselves, because we grow up then with so many affirmations, confirmations, so many corrals, you know, the blues here, the pinks there. And here's an example that's very happens around 4 or 5 years old, is the little blues, they are not allowed color. We systemically remove color from the little blues. And you can see in the fashion industry. Go have a look. Go look at the shoes. Go look at the clothing of all the blues. They get very bland colors. They get grays and blacks and browns and tans and dark blues, sometimes light blues, you know. But in the macho cultures, as America is, very young macho cultures, you'd be good to heck if you end up with a pink shirt and you are a blue. you will have to face who you really are. This is why I have such a big heart for the transgendered community, because these people have really confronted their humanity. They have confronted the gender binaries. They have realized and taken a stand for the fact that they didn't fit in that box. Those born blues wanted to wear dresses, and they deserve to wear dresses, and they are born to wear dresses, and they have a right to wear dresses. Who cares what color your assigned blanket was? You see, these are the questions we need to be asking ourselves as human beings, because in the community that we are building as universal entities, as universal, divine, all-powerful beings, these are some of the very extremely limiting beliefs that we have that we not only project on ourselves. Now, how many of those do we project on ourselves? Be yourself a pink, be yourself a blue. Okay, if you're a pink, you only have this many opportunities. And in the paradigm that we're born in, they make darn sure that their dogma, their propaganda is supported. So you can say, well, it's true, right? There's a glass ceiling of earning capacity for the pinks because you can see that in the financial world. Okay, but is that who you really are? Is that who you really are? Is who you are your financial earning capacity? Or are you a divine, all-powerful being that has come down here to planet Earth to shake it up a little bit and go, hey, guys, let's make this place better. Let's improve this place. Let's shine the light here and see if we can't enjoy it. You see, one of the most important things that I think we really could address as a global, international, multidimensional, old universal community is joy. The idea that humans are born to suffer is probably one of my first to sweep right out the door, because we really weren't born to suffer. We can suffer all we want. And we identify with ourselves as suffering because suffering is cool, right? We have commiserating, we have all kinds of ways, you know, with our divided lines, you know, the blues are over here and they can talk all that, you know, suffering about the pinks, and all the pinks over here can, you know, they can talk all that suffering and suffering with the blues. You see how well that works? You see how incredibly well that works? Now that you've got your first war, you can get on with your suffering from grade one, right? Because it's been poured into the culture that you are going to suffer, that you are going to have war, that you are going to have odds with yourself, period. Because the conflict, the deepest conflict, is a fact that in your soul, you know this is crap. You know this is absolute crap. You know that if you were born blue and you want to wear pink, you have a right to wear pink. You know that if you were born pink and you don't want to wear that bloody dress, you don't have to wear that dress. You know that in your soul. You have a right to be and do and express yourself as you are, as the truth in your heart. And we come to meet the slave matrix, and we find all kinds of oppression and all kinds of tricks of the light and all kinds of bizarre mazes that send us on these amazing journeys of self-discovery, and we think that's us. But the key is realizing it's not. It is not us. We are divine, all-powerful beings that chose to incarnate here and have this experience of being born in a slave matrix. And what makes this particular time so special, in my opinion, is that the human being here is now being given the key right across the board as a species to unlock the slave matrix and free the species once and for all on this planet. I really believe that contract is over. I really believe that with my whole entire heart. I really believe that the powers that have been governing, and incredible, I mean, it's a phenomenal exploration. The in-depth, the logistics of this operation are just, they're impressive. You got to say, wow, these guys are pretty smart. Okay, But they had a timeline. The contract is over. And I honestly considered them, in my entire being, the powers that used to be. They are done. The slave matrix has ended. And it has ended on many levels. One of the levels that is the most obvious in my understanding and how things have come in my awareness is that the planet itself has literally shifted its position. And I will be very succinct in this, and let the shifting of the position is what has a big part in the literal shifting of the consciousness. And the fact that this entity, this force that has been governing the slave matrix has been quite dependent on that old geometry. Okay, for those of you who follow the sacred geometry, I wonder, it'd be interesting to hear what you think about that. But in that old sacred geometry, they held power in the consciousness matrix, which is why they could be so effective. But the planet itself intentionally has dissolved that structure. Their geometric, the geometry that they were using to access the consciousness matrix and insert the slave paradigm has moved. Their source has now been destroyed. They do not have the same power, the same influence from on high. You see, these guys that created this slave matrix idea are not humans. They are not humans, okay? We live in an extremely populated multiverse. Multiverse. And we are a very special part, but no more special or any less special than any other part. So we have the twofold. We have a dire need to understand both how incredibly powerful and unique and beautiful we are as individuals and as a collective species. And at the same time, we need as much humility as we can possibly find, because we have been doused with some incredible arrogance here. The human species will find its peace when it finds its place. It doesn't need to be any more or any less than anything, but it needs to really understand the profound gift of its being as one part, the littlest, tiniest part. I mean, be so happy to be a grain of sand on the beach. How incredibly important your part is. Without you, that one grain of sand, you are an important part of what makes a whole beach. You are an important part of the whole beach because you exist. That one teeny tiny grain exists. You are making it possible for the entirety of the entire beach to exist. That's how important you are. You are sacred. You are a divine, all-powerful being that is part of a magnificent whole. You can't even begin to imagine. And so what? Who cares? Why do we have this bizarre need to think we need to know all this stuff? I mean, we could just have some fun. We could just play. We could just enjoy what we know. We could just enjoy who we are. We could just enjoy sharing what we've got to share. Hey, leave all that knowing to those who know. Dude, they got a job to do. I just want to play. I want to have some fun. I want to enjoy being alive. I want to enjoy every breath that I take. I want to enjoy welcoming the sun because I am alive, and it is a gift. A gift to be alive. It is a gift. There is nothing more sacred than this opportunity to be here right now at this time here on planet Earth to help this human species make this transition from the 3-4 material-based slave matrix reality to the multidimensional understanding of the soul being as part of the whole entire universe creation, and move this human species to its place of total creation. And we don't have to be in a hurry. You know, the more I study, the more I understand. We really don't have to be in a hurry because the universe has really got it planned. I mean, the universe, there's no doubt in my mind, has a plan. The universe has a rhythm. The universe has a knowledge. The universe has an understanding that we can all choose to be a part of. But the universe is its own thing, you know, and we are part of the universe thing. We are universes inside of ourselves. That is the part that we get to do. We get to be the universe creation of ourselves. And the more we create the universe that we are, the more we automatically create our connection, the more we cultivate the connection to the entirety of the universe that is. In building community as soul beings, we need to first shift our paradigm of who we are. If we are going to continue to try to make community from the outside in, we are going to keep ourselves in the 3-4-D slave matrix reality, and we're going to, you know, perhaps find it much more difficult to truly connect with people, because the truth is that we are connected all the time. That those of us who love what we love the dolphins, we are connected all the time. So we don't have to go on the outside and make something happen. We need to cultivate that love inside of ourselves and allow the universe to bring us together and allow the universe to show us the right way to go and forget the bureaucracy. You know, we need to come to a new understanding about what the bureaucracy is, about what the money-based linear bureaucracies serve. Those systems are draining us of the vital energy we really need to connect now as a universe community. We need to understand their place, like the bicycle. We need to understand how they work. But if we go in with an understanding, we have to have them to make our communities, we're not going to be utilizing our greatest intelligence. We will be utilizing our greatest intelligence when we fully understand what they're about and who they serve. They serve this off-world force that has another idea for what it would like the human species to do. We're going to see a lot of that in 2012. In that idea, they have this idea that they would like to turn the human into the slave species for all eternity. And they've come a very long way, and they're going to show us their stuff. We're going to get the encore. You know, the encore is begun. We're going to see the increase of fascism. We're going to see the increase of the wars. We're going to see all of the ways that people hate themselves and express that on each other. They're going to be running all that stuff full time on the mainstream media. And you can see it in the bizarre headlines if you bother with that mainstream garbage. But that is part of the opportunity that we have to take in ourselves. And this is part of how we can choose to create the peace in our heart to be part of the universal consciousness that's coming in and really fully accepting who we are as multidimensional, divine, all-powerful co-creators. We have to look, we have to learn how to see and appreciate, really fully love and appreciate these bureaucratic, money-dominated, corrupted systems for what they are and who they serve. Yes, we are in the in-between place. They are still in place. We need to work with what we've got. But we do not have to go in with the same idea that that's the way it's done. That is where the primary shift must take place. That is not the way it's done. That is the way it has been done to this point. It has, you know, to whatever degree you want to go into the study, it has created certain degree of change, and it has basically kept us going in the same circle. Do you notice? How can it be that a planet that has humans, that has a governmental system supposedly to help govern humans, doesn't have the basis of human rights or dignity? How can that be? Humans need to think about that. how can a human system claim to be human-based and sponsoring of human needs when there aren't even human rights? We have to fight for human rights? What kind of a system is that? Okay, we need to challenge the fundamentals of the system and really challenge ourselves and our old belief systems of why we support those systems. Why do we think those systems are necessary? Why? We have that opportunity to clear that up in our hearts. And the universe will, in fact, help us along a lot. Because the hardest part about challenging all of these thoughts and all these ideas, believing that money is it, believing that our systems are actually created by humans and run by humans, because it looks like a lot of people go to work and get paid. Isn't that correct? Okay, well, maybe that's true. But you know what? How many of those people that go to those places and go to work and take money, back to money, okay, how many people are happy? How many of those people going to those supposedly government-sponsored, run, entities by humans are actually fulfilling their true destiny, who are actually expressing their true joy of being alive? How many people are happy who work in the government? How many? One or two? You know, this is a very deep, deep, deep question. We do not have to surrender our governmental systems to non-human, human-hating entities that have created a system that is basically impossible for humans to live, okay? And we're going to see this roll out on all levels in bright color in the next year. I have no doubt about it. Only those who really are so latched to denial are going to have, they're going to have the hardest time. So I'm going to keep love in my heart for them, because the people who are locked in denial, you know, who, you know, want to stay positive, I only see rainbows and unicorns, you know, those people, you know, are really going to have the hardest time. And balancing our emotions, understanding that when we see something and have to really face in our side of ourselves something that so devastates the way we've thought and believed to this point, it really affects us emotionally. We need to deal with our emotions. We actually have many, many, many emotions, so subtle, so soft, so unique. And I actually like the rainbow as an example, because, you know, we think that there are six colors, but if you really look at a rainbow, you can't count the colors, because every color in between the you know, the blue, the red, whatever, between a blue and a green is blue-green, and a million shades of blue-green. Then you go to green-yellow, and you have a million shades of green, green, yellow. And it's true in every single color. Every single color of the rainbow is loaded with more colors than we can count. And that is our emotional body. That is how many emotions we have. We are that rich, that complex, that amazingly beautiful. And how we learn to deal with our emotions as we realize that the systems that we have believed in do not support us, are false, and have been intentionally set up to deny the human its full expression as a divine, all-powerful being. The more we really get our full consciousness around that, the more emotions that are going to be triggered, we are going to be emotionally charged like we have never ever been charged before. How we handle our emotions is going to be a key factor in how we manage the challenges and the turmoil, and it's going to be pretty intense how we handle those changes that are coming up in this new year of the Gregorian calendar that we mark today. So I see that it looks like the hour is just about calm by. I want to thank all of you who have shared this hour with me, and all of you who have tuned into the Alchemy of Light in this last year. I really want to thank BBS Radio, the tremendous community of BBS Radio, and the outstanding contribution that this station makes to just this, to the evolving consciousness of humanity, their steadfastness in providing a resource for us to think outside of the box is just so invaluable. And I am so grateful to have this opportunity. And I must thank my mother, Juliet Nightingale, for bringing me this opportunity. And, you know, she transitioned from her body in February of 2009. And she and I being very close, you know, I realized in the last month really clearly that I am definitely my mother's daughter. And that as awkward as it has been on so many levels to do radio and to, like, get my head around this, talk to the international community thing, I have finally realized in just the last few weeks that I was really being prepared my whole life to begin this journey right now. And I have to thank my mother for her incredible faith in me, and knowing that this is where I was going, it never occurred to me. it really didn't. But truth be told, I have been at the wheel of questioning all the answers without question since I arrived, and it is no accident, and it is a tremendous honor and gift to be a part of this evolving consciousness, to be given an opportunity to share really high quality and relevant messages that are timely and can really, my intention to help somebody, if they help one person, if one person has listened to this and found some peace of mind, found something that clicked in them and went, oh, wow, you know, I'm not alone. That makes sense. If one person has had one experience of that, this was worth it. Because so many people have done that for me on so many levels throughout my whole life. It is time for me to give back. So this is my gift to all. This is my great honor to be a part of the BBS family. I am so honored to be in this seat at this exact time here in our evolving consciousness. So in close, I want to salute the dignity of every single soul being. Let every single one of you awaken to the true magnificence, to the incredibly rich emotional, mental, spiritual, physical reality of who you really are as a divine, all-powerful universe being. I want to send out my prayer, my cheers, my incredible faith in every single one of you to reclaim the dignity of your soul and let your light shine now. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in a fortnight. Cheers to you all, and cheers to the universe.